Well, good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship the first Sunday of April, year of our Lord 2024. By way of announcements, you can see in your bulletin the usual items. And today is also the day for April birthdays and anniversaries. Who has a birthday in April? All right, we have one. Any others? Any anniversaries in April? Nobody's willing to admit it. Okay.
Along with that, the April treats are on the back bench for everyone to grab.
I had that right there.
Oh, yes.
I actually remembered this one. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Any other announcements that are not in the bulletin?
I keep forgetting to announce, and so does Karen. If you noticed on the backboard there, we have a thermometer gauge. So we've got a rough estimate of what the cushions that we want to replace in the future will be. So as we get the money, the thermometer will rise. So if you just want to take a look at it, and Karen showed up a nice about it. So just want to remind you, we are in the process of it, but we're not anywhere near replacing cushions because these are okay, and when the time comes, we'll have new, but not anytime soon.
The sooner you pay up, the sooner you sit more comfortably. How's that? There's a neat argument right there. Any other announcements?
If anybody has a flower, I don't know if there's any left in the windows, but please take your flowers home.
We got one left here. I'm not sure who that one is. And then Russell and Sydney's is in the back.
All right. There's a sign-up sheet also for cleaning. I think that's in back here.
Well, that's every week, so.
Yeah.
All right. Our call to worship this morning is from the 133rd Psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Shall we pray? This morning, Lord, we are gathered in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, inviting that the presence of the Holy Spirit will fill this place and fill our hearts, that you, Father, Son, and Spirit, may be blessed and honored by our worship today. We want you to be here with us. We give ourselves completely to you. And so, Lord, receive our worship from hearts that love you and hearts that are filled with gratitude. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Let's sing number 497. Stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Every week we come together with our praises and our prayer requests. And who and what do you have a praise for, or what do you have a prayer request for this morning?
I want to thank everybody for the card and the gift, the flyer from the church, and all the prayers and the phone calls. Thank you. And the prayer list, the same, the Baker family.
Okay. How are you feeling?
Feeling getting better.
Good. Good. Others?
Traveling Mercies for Ron and Nancy.
Just want to say, pray for the people that had a house fire back on Bolling Road. I don't know who they were or anything or about that yet, but they evidently it was a working fire and they got it out. Tried to lessen the damage, but it was a lot of damage, a lot of things. So.
Okay.
And pray for everybody, the firefighters, the people who came from the other towns to help and stay.
So it was a big fire, huh? When was this?
Yesterday.
Yes. Okay.
And it rekindled this morning.
And they're still working on it.
Now. Oh my.
And it was a long haul, so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Imagine.
Yeah, great. Even more stuff to burn. Yeah, this baby will burn. No. How many of you felt the earthquake? Nobody?
Nope.
Nobody felt the earthquake. My daughter texted on Friday from her job, which is close to Philadelphia. Did you feel the earthquake? What earthquake? She said, well, it sounded here like somebody had a heavy cart that was running on the rooftop. For a couple of seconds. Yeah, well, you know, it happens. Just be grateful you don't live in California. Okay, I saw another hand. Yes, and Frank first.
Yeah, okay. I just want to keep my wife in prayer. She's been having some trouble last night, and she woke up this morning, sick on her stomach, and so forth. So she's not with me. And others that's been failing and having issues.
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. Just say Traveling Mercy for some family members that are traveling today. And just keep Ralph in your prayers. He's not too perky today. You have those days. But.
Yeah. We all have those days now and then. Those itis boys, you know.
Yeah.
Arthur and Rumi. They get you. Any others?
I'd like to, as a joy, I just want to thank everybody that came out last week for the sunrise service. We had a nice turnout and a nice day for it. It was very, very blessed service.
Yes, it was.
excuse me. I'd like to keep my niece and great niece as they're in Traveling Mercy as they're heading back from North Carolina today. And I've been asking for prayers for my cousin Wanda. She did have her surgery on Thursday. She is still in intensive care. It was a 7-hour surgery. The doctor did say things went well, but she's having some memory issues, and they're having a few things that they gotta go back in and check. So. But they were able to remove it, and they got it out just in time because it was about to burst.
Okay.
So continue prayers.
Faye.
So I have a prayer for our cousin, Anna Mae. She's having hip replacement on Wednesday. And prayers for myself. I'm having some more tests done this week.
Okay. All right, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you because you're the first person we come to if we're wise. When we come to pray And we think of the needs of those around us, our neighbors whose house is still on fire. Those of us who have family members who will be traveling in the next few days that need your protection and keeping. Those of us who have not been feeling well, those who have been dealing with the aftermath of surgeries, of tests, of medical treatments. Lord, you know our bodies far better than any doctor does. You know what we need to give us life and health and strength. Lord, sometimes things threaten to almost wear us out. It seems like there's difficult news on every hand. Help us to remember that these are just opportunities to see you at work. That the more we trust you and the more we turn to you and the more we rely on you, the more you reveal yourself to be the God who heals, the God who loves, the God who cares. We know that you are all these things. Help us not to be depressed by our circumstances, but to look at them as your opportunity to show yourself mighty and strong in every aspect of our lives. We do pray this morning, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity to share with our gifts. We ask that you would bless the offering and use it to your honor and glory. And Lord, you gave us a prayer to pray as your people. You gave it to us a prayer not just as an example or as a model, but as something that we can do together that knits us more closely together and knits us more closely with you. And so, Lord, we do pray the prayer that you've taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing together number 387. Stand if you're able. We're going to pick up this morning at Mark chapter 9, beginning at the 33rd verse. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves about on the road?" But the disciples kept silent, for on the road they'd been disputing among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and the servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken the child in his arms, he said to the disciples, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Now John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." If you were to go to Annapolis, to the State House, or if you were to go to Washington and you were to go to the Capitol building, what kind of humans would you find there?
Guards.
What?
Guards, policemen.
Guards. But mostly you would find?
Politicians.
Politicians. Yes, I know we're in church, and we probably don't use that kind of language in church, but yes, we did. You would find politicians. And politicians do what?
More of you.
Lie.
Nothing. Deceive. Greed.
And inside trading. The list goes on.
So, not anything good.
Right.
The politics.
Self-serving. You name it, they do it.
In other words, they're a reflection of the people who elect them.
No. One's in there now, I didn't elect. Me either.
That is
wrong.
I think you better move on, Pastor.
I have a point here.
Okay.
I have a niece. My brother-in-law's daughter, who went to a Christian university, works as a Georgia state representative. Now, she only has her state job for 3 months of the year, technically. Technically, because their house is only in session 3 months a year. 3 months. The rest of the year, they have committee meetings, or she has to go out and try to drum up support for when she wants to run for re-election this November. She is at times encouraged by what she hopes she'll be able to do, and at other times says things very much like what you just said about politicians. Because it's a process, and there are people, well, let's just say, if we don't say crooked, if we don't say corrupt, and if we don't say anything negative, politicians on almost all levels are looking to exercise one thing. What is that?
Power.
Do humans try to exercise power in other settings other than politics? Name some.
Church. Marriage.
That's two big ones. What else?
Anywhere you go.
The workplace?
Managers.
Corporations.
Yeah. The German philosopher Nietzsche said that the basic drive for all human beings is the will to power. To have power. Well, there's a lot of arguments about what Nietzsche thinks, but he did recognize the truth. Human beings like to have power and control. Right?
Yeah.
That's why I don't think self-driving cars, for example, are going to succeed for another 25 to 30 years. Because you and I and our children grew up with that wheel in our hands and our foot on the brake and the accelerator. Maybe the other one on the clutch if you can drive at high speed. But you know, we're used to having control. We're used to having power. And to sit in a vehicle and have no hands on the steering wheel, you're trusting a computer to take you everywhere. I don't know about you, but I'm really not ready for that yet.
It'll even take you to the dead end.
Yeah. Or the railroad crossing.
Yeah.
So we want to have power. We want to have control. And sometimes what we can control is rather small, isn't it? But we still want to exercise that control. How many times do people write notes on the refrigerators at work? This is only for work food, and don't eat mine. And I don't believe that for a minute. Because nobody ever wants to clean refrigerators or toilets. But anyway. Control and power happens wherever humans gather, including, as was already said, church. And we say to ourselves, no, people don't want to do that in church. Either you haven't been coming to church for very long, or you're not human. Because we are what we are. And corrupted by the sin nature, sometimes things get out of control. And church doesn't turn into what Jesus decided it was supposed to be like. So we come to today, to this passage. They're on the road. They're walking back to Capernaum. And the disciples are not walking with Jesus. They're arguing amongst themselves. Who's number one? Who's number one? Who among us 12 is the most influential, the most powerful? Who has the biggest say? By the way, it's also an argument for saying, who's number 2 through 12? So that everybody knows where they belong. And Jesus, of course, knows what's going on. They think that he can't hear. Well, they should know better by now. It's been a while that they've been traveling with him. And they get to the house where they're staying, Capernaum. Maybe it's Peter's house. We don't know. But after they're all relaxed a little bit, Jesus says, hey guys, I got a question. What should that have done to the disciples?
Put them on alert.
Here it comes. That's just like a siren. You know, when Jesus says, I have a question for you, it's just like the siren across the street when that puppy goes off. You know, should have been going off for them. Uh-oh. We're in for it now. What was it that you were arguing about between yourselves on the road? And I could just see the disciples looking to one side. And they look over here, and they're all looking at each other. Who's going to tell him? Who's going to tell him? And they look at Peter. Peter shakes his head. They look at James and John. They shake their head. They look all around. Everybody's going like this. Ain't me going to tell him anything. So verse 34 says they kept silent. And he said, look, boys, you've been traveling with me now for a while. And I could just visualize this conversation. You want to be the greatest? You want to be the number one disciple? You want to be at the top of the heap? By the way, with 12 of you, it's a pretty small heap. But anyway, you want to be the one that everybody looks up to? Serve the other 11. Now, wait a minute. That's not how power works. Power works. I come over here and I say to Jerry, now we're going to play these three songs this Sunday. I don't want to hear any background. And Jerry says, yes, sir. No, Jerry says, I'm picking the songs. So there they are. They're ashamed. Jesus says, if you really want to be number one, you first of all got to act like number 12 or 13 or 20. You got to put other people in front of you and serve them. You can't promote yourself. You have to demote yourself. And you have to serve the others. You have to be willing to help them with whatever it is they need to do. A couple of weeks ago, we did what? We had communion and and part of Love Feast, you have
washing
of feet. How many of you washed your feet and put on clean socks before service? But if we were really serving each other, we'd bring our old dusty, dirty feet and plunk them in the basin and wash people's feet as they are, because Jesus said, you have to be the servant of all, no matter how they come. And the disciples are thinking, is that somebody's car out in our lawn? They aren't thinking that. Wait a minute. I have to serve some of those rascals that are in my church who know better, and yet they act up. Don't they know who I am? Don't they know how important I am? That's what the disciples said to each other. And Jesus said, I see that you're clearly not getting it. So he sits down. And there's somebody there with a small child. And he says, little boy, come over here, Johann, or whatever his name is. And he says, who is this here in front of me? What is he? And they say, well, it's a little boy. He's a child. How do children live, basically? I mean, nowadays we try to scare our children every way possible. You know, don't go out at night alone. Don't go away with strangers. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do the other thing. Be afraid of everything. Be frightened of everything. And we do our children a disservice, I think. But he says, listen, guys, here's a child. Who does this little boy look up to first of all? He looks at his parents. Why? They take care of him. He knows them as the ones he's responsible to. And he loves his parents. He has trust in them. He has full confidence in them. So, if this little boy has full love and confidence in his parents, and if he has full love and confidence in me, why, what's your problem? Why are you jostling to be number one? Why do you have to be first? Why do you have to be the one that everybody has to come to for permission to do things. Ooh. Jesus said, this little boy trusts me. If you trust me, like this little boy trusts me, you're receiving me and my Father because he sent me. So when you live in obedience to Jesus, you are receiving not just what Jesus says to you, but you're also honoring God the Father who sent him. When we live lives of obedience and commitment to Jesus and put others first, God is glorified. God is glorified, not ourselves. And that may be hard for us. What do you want your epitaph to say? You go out here, however long it is till God calls you home. And they lay you to rest in the dirt, and they put a stone up. What do you want those words on your headstone to say? Have you ever thought of that? Besides the bare biographical facts, do you want it to say anything? There's a gravestone in East Berlin Cemetery. And I walk around there sometimes just because it's a safer place than the crazy nuts that speed through the alleys and everything else when you want to go walking. And so I walk around this big circle in the cemetery, and there's one where the husband and wife lie asleep until the Lord is going to call them forth. And they have one simple sentence. They made a difference, and they will be missed. They made a difference, and they will be missed. Now, if that isn't a perfect one-sentence summary of a positive Christian life, I don't know what is. And I said to my wife, I said, if the time comes that we want to have a marker, tell the children this would be a good one. But I won't be taking notes. Jesus says, if you receive your brothers and sisters, you're receiving me, and you receive the one who sends me. So lay aside your ambition. Lay aside your desire for power. Lay aside all the things that you think are important and focus on the one thing, receiving me and obeying me and loving me. Following that, John decides that he's going to change his subject because it's getting awfully deep in here, Lord. And you're hitting it pretty close to home too, by the way, God. Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow in our group casting out demons in your name, and we told him he can't do that because he's not with us. Well, how many of us have ever been jealous of another church? How many of us have ever thought we've seen pictures of David Jeremiah's church? And we think, man, it would be great to be like that. Preachers do.
I like the plain and simple myself.
Well, you know, at David Jeremiah's church or some of the other big churches, you can go in, you can plunk down in your seat, you can drink your coffee, and when the service is over, you can go home and not be bothered for a week later. You don't have to do anything. You come to church at Monocacy. You got to do something. Otherwise, it won't get done.
Amen.
You got to be involved. John says, look, there was this guy over here. He was casting out demons. And he was doing really great stuff. But he wasn't part of us. He wasn't part of the in-group.
He wasn't part of us disciples. He's not part of the 12. Who does he think he is anyway? Who do you think you are? Huh? What if you start doing something that's outside the norms of the group? And the church starts to grow and people start to get help. I'm not going to lie to you. Churches that sometimes have begun to experience new growth and new life, people get mad. Why? Well, I can't sit in the same pew anymore. Or I got to get there early. They got all these strange people in here. I used to know everyone. Now I don't. It's not like it used to be. And of course, we forget that the way that it used to be was going downhill. And if God decides he wants it to go uphill, guess what? He doesn't care about your discomfort. He doesn't care if you think you're the boss. He doesn't care if you think anything at all. It's his will that's sovereign, and he's going to do it. And he is not going to consult with you. He will hand you your instructions. Because that's what Jesus says to the disciples. Fellas, listen to me. Don't forbid this person or anyone else like him who's doing miracles in my name. Because we're all on the same team. We're all pulling together. I don't care that he doesn't follow around with us. Just because I didn't call him to be with the rest of you guys doesn't mean I didn't call him to do that over there. Because my plans are bigger than you have any idea. And the same lesson holds true for us. What are God's plans that we don't have any idea about now? And we better just make sure that we're flexible enough to go along with what he wants to do and not be an obstacle. You go to a quarry. You go to a gravel quarry. Most times when you go to a gravel quarry, the gravel is not already ready in the ground, right? How do you get gravel?
Pulled out of the ground to start with.
Drill and blast.
Blast. Break loose of what's been holding it in place and keeping it from what it needs to become. Gather it in. Haul it to the mill. Take a boulder the size of that pew. Is that ready to be gravel? No. You got to run it in the mill. You got to break it down into smaller pieces. You got to break it up, and finally, after a lot of grinding and a lot of other work, you finally get gravel. God works like that sometimes. He breaks us loose from where we're comfortable. He breaks us loose from what we thought we were supposed to be doing. And he says, I'm going to shake it up now. And I'm going to make your collection of people, your collection of faithful followers, into what I need it to be right now. There are pictures in that cabinet back there of men who were pastors and other people who belonged to this church over 100 years ago. Does the church today face the same problems and issues that it faced 100 years ago?
Yes, and more.
Do we face the exact problems? No. Because 100 years ago was prohibition. Do we face prohibition today? No. For example, if you go over the history of this church, there have been times when God has broken people and things loose so that he can reshape the church to meet the needs of that day and the challenges of that day. And God may, in fact, be reshaping the church now for the challenges of today. Now, do we have to be blasted loose? Do we have to be run through the grinding mill?
Possibly.
On Facebook, I've been looking at some pictures of this battleship. I believe it's the USS Texas, or maybe it's the New Jersey. I'm not quite sure. But they are refurbishing this battleship. And one of the first things they have to do when it's in the dry dock, they get this high-powered, super-powered pressure washer. And what do they blast off the bottom?
Barnacles.
Why do you need to get the barnacles off?
They're organic.
They're organic and... What?
They break down the boat.
Okay, they break down the metal.
And they melt the
rust.
And if that ship were ever to sail again, what might a whole keel full of barnacles do?
Slow it down a lot.
Slow it down a lot. And so, the barnacles are saying, no, no, don't blow, don't pressure wash us. And the ship owner says, oh, yes, we are. And they blast it off because the ship depends on its top speed and its full capabilities. Sometimes you and I, if we're not careful, can become barnacles. And God has to blast us loose a little bit. The disciples were already becoming barnacles. And they were right there with Jesus. They were saying, no, 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 you can't do that because you're not part of us. Jesus says, anybody who believes in me can do whatever because I call them to do it. And you don't have the authority to tell them no. Jesus makes the disciples uncomfortable. And I dare say that sometimes Jesus makes you and me uncomfortable. Makes me uncomfortable. I have to preach this. And then I have to say to myself, Lord, how many barnacles do I have on me? What do you have to blast off of me? Just because I've been doing this for 44 and a half years doesn't mean I don't have barnacles. Am I being the one that is telling people no? When I need to be telling them, yes. Am I obstructing your church or am I assisting your church?
Assisting.
Well, thank you, but I'm waiting for his answer yet. The last thing that Jesus says, and he talks about a number of other things in the remaining verses of this chapter, but he closes with one sentence. Have peace with one another. Have peace with one another. Friends, it is okay for us to differ in opinions. It is okay for us to differ in the way that we think certain things should be said or done. It is okay if we sometimes make changes or move in a new direction. But at the end of the day, we have to be committed to having peace with one another. Even if some of the church decides
something that I don't think is right. Because I have to be committed to Jesus first. And the church is the voice of the Lord. The Lord works through the church in this world and through His Word. And if God leads in a certain direction and I dig my heels in and I just feel like I got to hold those reins back and I got to keep everybody from, you know. Sometimes I just have to let go of the reins and let God do what He wants. Even if it's not what I want. Life together as a church can be hard. It can be scary. It can be exciting. And it can be a lot of different emotions. But if we are committed to what Jesus wants to do with us as His church right here in Rocky Ridge, and are committed to doing only His will and not our own wills, we'll be surprised, I think, at how swiftly He can change us. Let's pray. You know, Lord, we're awfully comfortable where we are right now. Some of us have been coming to this church for our whole lives. And we can't imagine going anywhere else or doing anything else. It's just who and what we are. And then, Lord, you tell the preacher to say, well, it might be time to do something different. I don't know about that, Lord. If I'm really honest, doing something different kind of scares me. Doing something different kind of threatens me. I want to follow, but it's hard. I don't want to be thought of as a barnacle or a boulder that you have to break up. Give me the courage to trust you, to let go, to let you lead. Lord, I don't know where you want to take this church, for sure. But I know you want to take it. And it's our job to let you go and do it. So do it. And we will let go. Amen. Let's turn. Sing number 487.
Thank you.
Lord, as we leave this place, our hour of fellowship and growth, let us take with us what you have been speaking exactly to our individual hearts and spirits about. And let your word work and produce in us exactly what you want. Today, tomorrow, this week, and every day. We let the reins go so that you may work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit be with you now and every day. Amen.
Amen.